when, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that, to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form, as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments, long established, should not change for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. So let's talk about a modern-day train of injuries and usurpations, shall we? Let's talk about H.R. 1, which would make mandatory voting practices to guarantee fraud in our elections, making election security illegal and guaranteeing one-party rule for the rest of our history and an inevitable civil war. Let's talk about the indoctrination of our military by Lloyd Garrison, Biden's military czar woke henchman tasked with the job of indoctrinating our military in critical racist theory, intimidating them to accept as gospel a hateful, evil, bigoted ideology, attempting to turn the military away from loyalty to the U.S.'s history and constitution to a perverted America hatred that sees themselves as oppressors because of the color of their skin, rather than liberators and defenders of all men and women that are indeed created equal. Speaking of the military, what about the firing of Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer of command of the 11th Space Warning Squadron of the nascent U.S. Space Force for publishing a book saying that neo-Marxism is influencing the military? It is, and Henchman Garrison is indoctrinating the entire military with it. This type of censorship is beyond the pale and would not have happened had an active duty officer criticized the military because it wasn't left enough. Colonel Lohmeyer must sue the military, and he must win. Speaking of critical racist theory, what about indoctrinating not just our military, but our children with critical racist theory, teaching them to hate our history, hate white people, and of course our education system and taxpayer dollars going to teaching our children in some instances to hate God with our taxpayer dollars and turn a generation of, quote, people of color into an oppressed class who feel like the world owes them everything and the only solution is the almighty benevolent government giving them welfare stipends the rest of their lives from their white oppressors who never actually oppressed them or their ancestors, leading to a life of mediocrity as opposed to reaching their full potential. Or the celebration of the genocide of unborn children by lighting up the Empire State Building and what they would normally would denounce as gender stereotyping, namely associating pink with women, but that's okay, because in this instance, the gender stereotyping is worth it, because we're celebrating the destruction of black and brown unborn babies who otherwise would have grown up to be beautiful, adult, black and brown people, creating a more diverse society that supposedly they care about, but that the elites apparently do not want to live with. And speaking of New York City, some years in that city, black children have a better chance of being aborted than being born. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what they celebrate. God save us. But remember, Black Lives Matter. And speaking of BLM, calling for defunding the police and fomenting hatred of police for shooting unarmed aggressors, and even a knife-wielding aggressor attacking a black woman, while allowing the officer who killed Ashley Babbitt in cold blood during the Capitol storm to go completely free and unaccountable to the law for shooting and killing an unarmed, non-threatening veteran, with zero BLM and Antifa riots as a result. It was a politically correct cop-killing murder, so that, of course, is okay. Or shall we discuss imprisoning so-called Capitol rioters for up to 23 hours a day in solitary confinement while allowing John Sullivan, the BLM activist and agent provocateur who stormed the Capitol and destroyed federal property, to go free, who was also paid $35,000 by the corrupt mainstream media for his footage of the Capitol riot and is writing a book that he will inevitably get rich off of, as all good socialists do. All while Trump supporters, who did far less than what he did, rot in jail in a horrific display of human rights abuses as we speak. Now let's move to our finances, shall we? How about printing trillions of dollars a second, resulting in our monetary inflation rate more than quadrupling since June of last year and climbing, resulting in our fiat currency becoming more and more worthless, raising the cost of living for everyone, including the poor, resulting in a de facto tax on the poorest among us and leading our country closer and closer to financial ruin, and driving people like me to park their cash in cryptocurrency as a hedge against the insane rate of inflation and what would seem to be the inevitable collapse of the dollar. Or what about an entire side of the political spectrum that is not only hostile to the Second Amendment, but to the First Amendment, which enshrined a set of freedoms foreign and unprecedented in world history, that seeks to persecute and punish those who do not engage in approved speech, with dissenting views on some of the most important topics we face as Americans, including the vehicles by which the leaders of our constitutional republic are decided. Yes, I'm referring to the voting machines, completely squashed. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. You're not allowed to question the integrity of the machines by which our leaders are elected because they're a, quote, private company. Remember, we only care about the rights of private companies at our selfish whims when it benefits us, Hobby Lobby, and Little Sisters of the Poor be damned. You see, because they're a private company, they have privacy rights, and they can't possibly reveal the intellectual property because that's proprietary. Ladies and gentlemen, this is beyond madness. As soon as Dominion or Smartmatic or any of the other companies signed up to be the vehicle by which our republic runs, you forfeited that privacy, Dominion. You forfeited that privacy, Smartmatic. We, the people, deserve to be able to look at those machines. Oh, and by the way, we are. And the great Mike Lindell is in possession of some of them, even as the big audit in Arizona continues and challenges in other states as well. This is not going away. We will not let this go. But we will not allow the billionaire tech oligarchs to silence us on this issue or any other issue that is not approved speech from the Ministry of Truth. Oh, and by the way, Trump supporters are not the only ones who have an issue with these machines.
Recently also, I actually held a demonstration for my colleagues.
This is Senator Kamala Harris, by the way.
Here at the Capitol. where we brought in folks who, before our eyes, hacked election machines. Those that are being used in many states, but are not state of the art from our perspective.
We're very concerned because there's only three companies. You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, three companies are controlling them.
That was Senator Amy Klobuchar, by the way.
43% of American voters use voting machines.
This is Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon. Democrat.
Researchers have found have serious security flaws, including back doors. These companies are accountable to no one. They won't answer basic questions about their cybersecurity practices, and the biggest companies won't answer any questions at all. Five states have no paper trail, and that means there is no way to prove the numbers the voting machines put out are legitimate. So much for cybersecurity 101.
Yeah, so much. It was amazing how those Democrats cared so much and were so concerned, including the current vice president of the United States, so concerned about those machines before the election, and now suddenly, all of a sudden, our elections are the safest and most secure in the world ever, forever and ever. Amen. Now, what about a CDC, whose website sounds like you're reading something out of a PhD dissertation from an ultra-far-left communist socialist student from Columbia University? Read it sometime. I recommend it. You'll find yourself encountering a lot of very interesting terminology. That has used the statement, "The science says," to completely obliterate our First Amendment rights, bringing unprecedented limits to freedom of assembly and the free exercise of religion, along with killing freedom of speech with help from the tech tyrants and shutting down dissenting views even from medical doctors. All the while, Fauci and the NIH having funded the gain-of-function research that led to these enhanced coronaviruses, making them far more deadly. Fauci, the father of COVID? Check out cgm.news for a discussion of that. Or what about a so-called president who tweeted out, "The rule is now simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours." Who violates his own COVID rules at his whim, such as when His Majesty made the proclamation that "Mask must be worn on all federal property henceforth signed herein unto this day." Such iron-fisted proclamations of false dichotomies do not fare well with lovers of liberty, and we will not comply, especially when Joe Biden the very next day went on federal property without a mask. Or what about a New York DA who is spending his time doing what any good New York DA would do? Figuring out a way to put President Donald J. Trump, the real president, in prison. I mean, it's not like there's anything else in New York to focus on, such as, oh, I don't know, soaring crime and poverty thanks to comrades Cuomo and de Blasio's deadly and tyrannical COVID policies. No, not at all. The most important thing for a New York DA to do is find out a way to put the greatest threat to Democrat one-party rule in prison forever. Show me the man, and I'll show you the crime. So said Lavrenty Beria, Stalin's chief of his secret police. Or what about the border crisis, which even the press secretary accidentally admitted as such, that has seen the thriving of drug traffickers, human traffickers, coyotes, deaths of migrant children, deaths of migrant parents, leaving children childless, and thus an orphan crisis, girls being raped on the way to the border. Do migrants' lives matter? Children being stuffed in cages in super spreader COVID conditions who get in-person teaching while American school children are forced to learn at home over Zoom. Since we've drifted to the border, shall we not meander outside our border to discuss world affairs? This is World News Brief after all. How about an administration whose current climate czar, John Kerry, violated the Logan Act during the administration of the legitimate president by engaging in diplomacy with the bloodthirsty, Jew-hating, America-hating Islamic terror tyrants in Tehran, telling them to bide their time and fear not. Bad Orange Man will be out of office soon, and we will be able to ease sanctions, resulting in zillions and zillions of dollars for you to be able to fund your terror proxies all throughout the Levant and beyond. Bad Orange Man took your territory money away, and we're so, so sorry. Bad Man. Bad Orange Man. Oh, and of course you'll stop enriching uranium if we return to the JCPOA, won't you? Wink, wink. Oh, and you're already at a 60% enrichment rate, and you are supposed to stay below 5%, and at 90%, you can build a nuclear weapon? I'm sure if we return to the deal, you'll kick things back down to below 5%, won't you? I'm sure. I'm so sure. Oh, and there are certain places IAEA inspectors are not allowed to go to? No problem. We trust you. Or what about members of Congress, affectionately now known thanks to MTG as the Jihad Squad, who do not back our top ally in the Middle East, but rather verbally aid the terror group Hamas, refusing to condemn their indiscriminate firing of thousands of rockets at innocent Jews and Arabs in Israel? Yes, someone needs to inform them it's not just Jews affected by this, but also Arabs. And just maybe they'll care. Like the BLM movement, where the only black lives that matter are those they can exploit for political ends and raise millions of dollars off of that they can then funnel to their favorite dim politicos, the only Arab lives that matter are those they can use in the same way. Just like Ilhan Omar, who tweeted out, quote, Palestinian lives matter, to which I tweeted out in response at CGM Radio News, quote, including the Palestinian lives that your partners in terror Hamas are indiscriminately targeting, with thousands of missiles they're firing into Israel? No, sadly, I did not get a personal response from her. We know, of course, that the only PAL lives that matter are those in Gaza, because right now their lives are politically expedient to foment her Israel hatred. This shouldn't surprise us, though. Remember, this is the same jihadist who sought to reduce the sentences of those poor, oppressed Michigan teenagers who were caught trying to join ISIS, and who also said that support for Israel was, quote, all about the Benjamins, baby. Or what about the great Rashida Tlaib, who said this on Twitter yesterday, quote, the U.S. cannot stand by and be complicit in the dehumanization and violence against Palestinians. Yesterday, I went to the House floor to push my colleagues and the Biden administration to stop picking and choosing whose human rights our government will stand up for. I think she said it something quite like that in real life. Yet no mention on Twitter of the slightest condemnation of Hamas for targeting innocent Jewish and Arab civilian men, women, and children in Israel, only propagating the very lies Hamas wants them to. Or what about everyone's favorite Jihad Squad member, Cortez, who had this to say on Twitter, quote, the president has said that Israel has a right to defend itself, but do Palestinians have a right to survive? The U.S. must acknowledge its role in the human rights violations of Palestinians. This isn't about both sides, like, it's about an imbalance of power. I think she said it kind of like that also. Again, no mention on Twitter of Israel's right to defend itself or the firing of thousands of rockets indiscriminately by Hamas into Israel targeting innocent men, women, and children. If you truly believed Palestinian lives mattered, and if you truly cared about Palestinians' right to survive, you would directly blame Hamas, who is inviting the Israeli response, which sadly, yes, has had collateral damage of civilians, because that's what happens when one side starts a war with another. Yes, even children dying are a horrific byproduct of war, and Israel cannot stand aside as terror groups launch attacks on its citizens, Jew and Arab. Not only this, but many of the civilian casualties are caused by Hamas misfires landing in the Gaza Strip. Hamas has owned the art of killing their own people in multiple ways. Let me be clear. Every Arab death in Gaza is Hamas's, not Israel's, fault, as they are the ones who started this war, and Israel is the only country who, when attacked, are expected and pressured by the bourgeois international community to exercise restraint and moderation. By the way, if you would like a short and entertaining education on the true history of the Israeli-Arab conflict, make sure to tune in to the Bob Siegel Show right here on the CGM Radio Network this week, as he is doing a three-part series on the history of the Israeli-Arab conflict that you will not want to miss. A link to part one of his show will be in this podcast episode show notes, or you can just search for the Bob Siegel Show in your podcasting app. Now, what about the UN? You know, that bastion of enlightenment who elects Iran to the Commission on Women's Rights and slave-owning states China and Mauritania to its Human Rights Council. You know, that one. Yet who claims to care about the oppressed by tweeting out endless word salad streams of fighting homophobia, transphobia, and biphobia. They had a Zoom call about the Israel-Gaza crisis. Great job. And what about UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who tweeted on May 13th, quote, "out of respect for the spirit of Eid." Huh? Now, for those who may not be aware of the spirit of Eid, no, it's not some bizarre Greek myth necessarily. It is actually a reference to those who performed Ramadan obediently. "Out of respect for the spirit of Eid, I appeal for an immediate de-escalation and cessation of hostilities in Gaza and Israel. Too many innocent civilians have already died. This conflict can only increase radicalization and extremism in the whole region." Then on May 16th, he said, quote, "the current violence in Gaza and Israel only perpetuates the cycles of death, destruction, and despair, and pushes farther to the horizon any hopes of coexistence and peace. Fighting must stop immediately. The UN is actively engaging all sides toward an immediate ceasefire." It is this type of duplicitous, moral, cowardice at best, and aiding and abetting of a terrorist organization at worst that gives Hamas cover to engage in such horrific acts of terror. They know that the international community will not condemn their terrorism, but only a few rogue politicians in America and a few other countries. But instead, they will feign some moral equivalence and attempt to act as a neutral arbiter of a simple dispute between two quarreling children. If the UN cannot call out acts of terrorism, it is worthless as an international body and deserves not a dime of our taxpayer money. And the building in New York City should be converted into a massive, big, beautiful Hope Pregnancy Center to save all of those beautiful black, brown, and even white unborn children. Could you imagine? Oh, could you imagine? Oh, wait, but what about the Palestinian evictions of the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in Jerusalem that started all of this a few weekends ago? How could Israel perform such atrocities? Number one, evicting people from their homes, for whatever the reason may be, is completely incomparable to firing thousands of rockets at innocent civilians and shows how sick and deluded people are and willing to defend terror no matter what. Secondly, I'm old enough to remember in 2005 when Israel extracted Jewish families from their homes in Gaza to the applause of the international community, including even some American conservatives, I won't name any names. Somehow, magically, extracting Jews from their homes is perfectly okay, while extracting Arabs is not. Remember, when there's a different standard for Jews than the rest of the world, that's when you know it's anti-Semitism. Now, I confess, I am personally not read up enough on the shake jar of neighborhood evictions to let you guys know what I think about that. I hope to do that in this next week. Instinctually, I am always of the opinion that people should not be evicted from their homes without a very good reason. Do they have one? I confess, I do not know, and so I'm not going to defend or denounce on this podcast. But what I do know is that evictions of families do not justify obliterations of the lives of innocent men, women, and children, Jew and Arab. Such is the state of our world. And as mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, such is the state of our union. I started the show off with the Declaration of Independence, and I'm going to end the show in the same way. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United States colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that, as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. For the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. As Americans and those listening in from outside our borders, including freedom-loving British, whom we also love, no hard feelings after all, and Nigel Farage is a personal hero of mine, we must stand up to tyranny wherever it rears its ugly head, even if it's just in a small way. How do we do this? Number one, be in continual prayer for our nation. Do not underestimate the power of God in changing this nation. I believe it is what formed this nation at the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. They were in prayer for hours on the Constitution, on the floor of that hall, as they travailed in prayer in order to birth the amazing document called the Constitution. Be in prayer. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Do not underestimate it. Second, regularly write and call your representatives and senators when necessary about legislation coming through. H.R. 1 would be a perfect example. Here in Texas, our senators are standing strong against it, but there are some who are not. And we need to stand strong, including Lisa Murkowski, a Republican. If you happen to be in her state, do not let this go. Three, maybe you become a precinct committeeman, as made famous by Steve Bannon on his War Room, so we knock out weak-kneed Rhino Republicans from local positions. We need MAGA everywhere. Go to precinctstrategy.com for more on that, and I will have it linked in the show notes of this podcast as well. Four, continually educate yourself on these issues. If you have not read the Declaration, if you have not read the Constitution, read them. Educate yourself on the issues so you can better articulate and defend them. Number five, use whatever unique gifts and talents God has blessed you with to protect this nation that God has blessed us with. That, of course, is between you and God as to what that ultimately will look like. We face incredible challenges as a nation, but we absolutely must face them with courage, boldness, optimism, and even love. Love for our enemies, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I do not hate the Jihad Squad or Biden or Harris. Hatred will never win the day. Martin Luther King made that very clear to us, a true civil rights leader. MLK Jr. made that clear. But I will fight against their hate and stand against their tyranny. And if all of us do the same, then they will not be able to enact the tyranny they have planned for this country. I am still optimistic, despite everything, that America will, by the grace of God, lift its head out of the pig trough we've been feasting in and return home to Him who, in His love and grace, sent His Son Jesus Christ to redeem us and gave us and the world this beautiful nation we call the United States of America. I'll leave you all with this quote from Otto von Bismarck, the first chancellor of a reunified Germany of the late 1800s. He said this, "God has special providence for fools, drunkards, and the United States of America." And that, my friends, in my most humble opinion, may be some of the truest words that have ever been spoken.